From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of October, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Harry Cooney from GrowMark will be here to look at the agricultural energies. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day. And along the way today, we'll hear an update of crop progress from Illinois and Iowa, Minnesota and Indiana as the state's statisticians take center stage during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Here are the way the numbers settled in Chicago at the CME Group on this Tuesday afternoon. The nearby soft red winter wheat, or the December contract, at $6.81 and a quarter. That's up a quarter. March at $6.92 and a half, up a half. And July of next year, down a half at $6.89 and a half. The hard red at $7.51 and three quarters in the December, a penny higher. July futures down a half at $7.28 and a quarter. December corn futures, 4.32, up a penny and a quarter. The March at 4.44 and a quarter, up one. May futures 4.52 and three quarters, up three quarters of a cent. And July corn at $4.60, up a quarter. September futures down a quarter at 4.66 and a half. And December of next year at 4.75. Unchanged on the day. November beans, $12.79, up 7 3/4. January at 12.70 and three quarters, 2 3/4 higher. March at 12.54 and three quarters, up 4 cents. And May soybeans, 12.41 and three quarters, up 4 3/4. July futures, 12.37, up 6. And November beans at $11.64, 6 3/4 higher for next year. Bean meal futures at 4.10.80 and the lead option December down 3.90 and bean oil at 40.97. That's 61 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures, October contract, $133.40 for 100 pounds, up 25 cents. December at 134.27 and a half, and the live cattle at 47 and a half cents higher, and feeders at 165.42 and a half, settled down 55 cents. November contract at 166.75, down 32 and a half. Lean hog futures up 60 cents at $91.35, and the December and February at 94.10, finished 45 cents lower on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, December at $98.20 a barrel, down 48 cents. November at $2.60 and 4 tenths of a cent. The RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price, that's 2 6 tenths of a cent lower for the day. And ethanol futures at $1.80 are 3 1/10 of a cent lower. The difference between the RBOB and the ethanol, or the spread, is now 80 4/10 of a cent wide, and that's 4 10 of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.49 and 6 tenths of a cent, down 7 3/10. And diesel fuel today, 2 10 of a cent lower, $2.96 and 1/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $1,345.20, finished down $6.70, and the U.S. dollar at 79.6. That's up 0.35 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers. Those will come after 4 today. Cloudy, a high of 59 degrees on a south-southeast wind at around 8 miles an hour this afternoon. And then tonight, the 40% chance of showers, mainly after 7, cloudy and a low of 51. Tomorrow, chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, possibly after 1 in the afternoon, cloudy and a high of 70. Southeast winds at 7 to 11 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tomorrow set at 50%. Tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, very likely, about 70% in the area. Cloudy and a low of 60 degrees. Thursday, occasional showers, a high of 67. It sure is going to rain that day, most likely. A chance of precipitation set at 90%, and then a 40% chance on Thursday evening with a low of 46. Friday, sunny skies and 59, and Friday night, mostly cloudy and 40 degrees. Saturday, partly sunny and 53. Saturday night, mostly clear and 35. On Sunday, sunny skies and 54. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It is a Tuesday afternoon. It's the 29th day of October. On the phone line, as usual, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers, I bet, are busily trying to finish up what soybeans they might have left and get those put away and in storage. And maybe a few of them are already chugging away hard at corn, too.
You know, we're mostly on corn over here. The beans are pretty well gone. There's just a few double crop fields left out there as far as in our area. And the yields were very good on the beans this year over in our area. So we're very happy about that. But they're trying to get what they can before this rain comes in and shuts them off for the week.
Have you heard much about moisture content of the corn that's coming in?
You know, I think that we're more in that probably 17 to 21%, most within the 18 to 19% over here right now. Not as dry as they may be like, but, it's sure producing bushels.
The crop yields remain surprisingly good, I take it.
Very, very good. I just talked to one of the other farmers this morning that said he finished up yesterday and that he thought it was the best corn crop he'd ever had.
That is a good thing, and best corn crop he ever had, because we do have lower prices and expectations are for those to continue to stay low through 2014, quite likely anyway. We'll see how that all plays out. But right now we need to know what they ought to be doing with the corn crop that they have either coming out of the field or in storage in the bin.
Well, as we look at the corn crop here, we're looking at 432 for the December corn. And as we look out to July, we're looking at 460. So that and probably a 10 or 15 cent increase in basis levels says that if you've got storage on the farm, why, you probably ought to be storing it and selling it or trying to mark it up so you could sell it for the July delivery time period in there or somewhere down the road, because it is advantageous that way. So we look at the beans, just the opposite there, Todd. You know, there's no carry in the beans. We're $12.79 for November and $12.70 for January. I don't like to pay them 10 cents for me to put them in my bin and take them out.
Well, the USDA says most of the beans across the nation, or a good portion of them, have been harvested at this point. And in fact, for the first time this year, this particular crop is ahead in some states. And that's not been the case since we tried to plant it early in the spring.
No, it sure hasn't. We've been running behind greatly here, but I think these new combines and the larger heads that we've got and the good shot of weather that we did have here has really made a difference on getting these beans harvested this year, that way along the way. So, we are seeing that the pipelines did start to show that they were getting towards full yesterday with our big declines as far as what was going on. Small olders are going to sure need this time. They can dry out and get caught up and be ready for harvest to start again.
When you look at that bean price, it dropped pretty dramatically yesterday, and then it came back. And you were talking, of course, about corn and the elevators making some space. But this would be a turnaround Tuesday for the soybeans. Will it continue the rest of the week?
You know, we've got, of course, the export sales number for the time that the government was shut down will come out on Thursday. And we're looking to see if that's going to push ahead. You know, we have dropped back as far as China goes, as far as their crush margins have been. They aren't going to be quite as aggressive, maybe, wanting to. But we've got a lot of beans pre-shipped. I mean, we look at what was shipped last week was the largest second largest shipment ever for 1 week of beans loading out of the U.S.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report for the 29th day of October. You can find us online at willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress report. It shows that 98% of the corn around the nation has matured. 59% of the crop has been harvested. It is still in very good condition. Soybeans dropping leaves now stand at 98% on average, by the way, the rolling five-year, at 99%. Soybeans harvested at 77% or equal to the rolling five-year average nationwide. Here's what the state statisticians in four of the top five corn-growing states in the nation have to say about progress in their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 27, 2013. Cool and mostly dry weather allowed corn and soybean harvest to rapidly advance in Iowa during the week, with soybean harvest now slightly ahead of normal, which marked the first time all season that soybean progress was ahead of the five-year average. Statewide, there were 6 days suitable for field work, as other activities for the week included fall tillage as well as liquid manure and fertilizer applications. Iowa farmers harvested 20% of their corn for grain or seed during the week, with 55% of the crop now in the bin, 5 percentage points behind normal. The moisture content of all corn in the field was estimated at 21%, while the moisture content of corn harvested was 19%. Corn lodging was rated at 65% none, 21% light, 11% moderate, and 3% heavy. Meanwhile, soybean harvest advanced 17 points during the week and now stands at 87% complete, 2 days ahead of the normal pace. Iowa farmers experienced below normal temperatures during the week, with temperatures for the week as a whole averaging 9.2 degrees below normal. Snow fell in the northern part of the state, and southeastern Iowa experienced its first freeze of the season. Statewide, average precipitation for the week was just 13 hundredths of an inch, 43 hundredths below normal. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 47 and 33% adequate to surplus, respectively, and over 90% of Iowa's pasture land was rated fair or better, while hay supplies across the state were rated 84% adequate to surplus. This is Greg Tayson reporting for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was much colder than normal around Illinois. Temperatures averaged more than 11 degrees below the norm. Precipitation continued below normal as well. The average rainfall for the state was less than 1/4 inch, 0.4 inch below normal. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated 20% very short, 40% short, and 40% adequate. Subsoil moisture is now rated 26% very short, 40% short, and 34% adequate. Corn harvest progress increased by 23 points last week and finally surpassed the five-year average. Harvest is now 74% complete compared to 94% last year and 68% for the five-year average. Soybean harvest increased by 17 points and is now 85% complete. That compares to 86% 1 year ago and 77% normally. Winter wheat planting increased by 21 points and is now 89% complete. That compares to 79% last year and 74% for the five-year average. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 27, 2013. The average temperature in the state was 36 degrees, that's 6 degrees below normal. The average precipitation recorded was 0.08 inches, and that's 0.42 inches below normal. Topsoil and subsoil moisture supplies were 91 and 73% adequate to surplus, respectively. More than 1/4 of Minnesota's corn for grain was harvested during the week. That advances to 48% complete overall. Average corn moisture at harvest remained at 21%. The corn condition improved slightly to 3% very poor, 7% poor, 31% fair, 47% good, and 12% excellent. For the first time this season, soybean progress was ahead of normal. Soybean harvest reached 91% complete, and that's 3 percentage points ahead of normal. The average moisture content of harvested soybeans remained at 13%. Sugar beets were 84% lifted. That compares with last year's 90%. Canola was 93% harvested. That compares to a normal of 100%. Dry beans and potatoes were both nearly finished, with 96% harvested. The sunflower harvest advanced 21 percentage points to reach 37% complete. However, that remains well behind the normal of 67% harvested at this time. Pasture conditions improved to 39% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Kiff Hurlbut with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 27th, 2013. Unseasonably cool, wet weather prevailed over the majority of Indiana this week, with most locations seeing their first frost of the season. 98% of the corn acreage is mature, compared with 100% last year and 97% for the five-year average. 59% of the corn crop has been harvested, compared with 80% last year and 62% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 19%. 78% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 79% for both last year and the five-year average. By area, 82% of the soybean acreage is harvested in the north, 83% in the central region, and 60% in the south. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. 83% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared with 84% last year and 78% for the five-year average. 51% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared with 50% last year and 44% for the five-year average. 74% of the winter wheat acreage is in good to excellent condition, compared to 69% last year at this time. That concludes this week's Crop and Weather Report. This is Kiff Hurlbut reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana for their weekly updates of crop progress. By the way, Nebraska is the number three corn-producing state in the nation. It's 97% mature for corn and now 55% harvested. You can find any of the 18 corn and soybean-producing states' harvest progress online. Just search NAS, comma, and then your state. You'll be looking for the crop progress report once you arrive at the NAS website.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Up next, the Renewable Fuels Standard is federal law that forces energy suppliers to use alternative fuels. I'll have more on what the standard has done and how it operates.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is a very brief look at the RFS, the Renewable Fuels Standard. It's been in place since 2005. Washington passed the law in hopes of pushing the U.S. towards greater energy independence. The first step has been relatively easy, with U.S. corn farmers stepping up, building ethanol plants, and increasing corn production. About 10% of the nation's gasoline supply is now derived from corn-based ethanol. But phase one is plateauing, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
You're right. I mean, to date, corn-based ethanol has been the primary biofuel that's been produced and consumed. We've consumed as much as 5 billion bushels of corn per year in making ethanol for the domestic and export market. As the mandates have increased over time, requiring more ethanol, obviously that's pushed the consumption of corn up. It now appears that we're probably plateauing a bit in that scenario. And it does, I think, hinge a lot on EPA decisions in terms of how to enforce the mandate, those mandates for renewable biofuels, or at least the implied mandate, the total minus the advance, would push us to 15 billion gallons by 2015. And how aggressively we pursue that objective, I think, will determine how rapidly we increase corn consumption. But clearly the major growth is behind us at this point, and the near term, we are plateauing corn consumption.
U.S. EPA has some authority to adjust the mandates. Not much, but some. The problem for corn-based ethanol is that the mandate requires 15 billion gallons of renewable fuels in the gasoline supply by 2015. But that 15 billion gallons is greater than the maximum percentage allowed by U.S. EPA. Here's Illinois' Scott Irwin with more details.
The mandates are part of federal legislation that's popularly known as the Renewable Fuel Standards, and they are volumetric minimums of different categories of biofuels that must be blended and used in our domestic fuel supply. For example, Darrell just mentioned that there are targets that are minimums for renewable fuels, which have almost exclusively been in the form of corn-based ethanol, that rise to 15 billion gallons by 2015. And then, so there's sub-mandates for different kinds of biofuels, and then an overall total. And that total is scheduled to go up to 36 billion gallons by 2022. So I think the key for people that may not be familiar with the RFS is that these are not voluntary guidelines. They are, in fact, statutory minimums for which there are civil penalties if the parties obligated under the renewable fuel standards do not comply. So it's the law of the land, literally.
But the law of the land, the mandate for the 15 billion gallons in the gasoline supply cannot be reached. Why? Because U.S. EPA has set a maximum amount of no more than 10% ethanol in a gallon of gasoline at the pump. There are alternatives like E85, but at the regular pump, 10%. That number maxes out at about 13.4 billion gallons annually, and it's related to how much renewable fuel an engine can manage to consume. Washington, D.C. must deal with this inconsistency. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney from GrowMark is on the phone line with us this afternoon. Hi, Harry. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Had kind of a quiet trade here today in the energy markets.
Why was that the case?
Well, we just don't have a lot of fresh new news to push us around a lot. The markets have sold off here quite a bit, in fact, here in the past 2 months since about, let's just say Labor Day or so. Crude oil has fallen about $10 to $12 a barrel. Of course, back at that time, there was a lot of hype about Syria. We had some Egyptian problems, just a lot of overall in the Middle Eastern region, a lot of instability. And since then, a lot of that news has quieted down. So talk about down, the markets have come down. And historically, energy prices tend to continue to weaken into the Thanksgiving to Christmas time period. Probably 12 or 13 out of 15 years, prices do weaken from the fall peak into some winter lows.
One of the reasons that prices can go down, and corn farmers will know this, is because a supply is big or large. And is that the case for gasoline or diesel?
Well, gasoline supplies are actually near the upper end of the historical range for this time of the year. So very adequate supplies of gasoline. Diesel fuel supplies are adequate. We'll get through harvest in good shape, but they are more on the lower end of the range in the U.S. So we're going to get through harvest in good shape with diesel fuel supplies, even though they are a little bit on the lower end. Propane supplies, we've been hearing a lot of grain drying going on with corn, with the larger than expected crop, with the wetter moisture levels due to later planting and things. Propane supplies are still adequate, but there are some spot outages at some local terminals from time to time. But even there, it looks like we'll get through the season in good shape.
Harry, thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney at GrowMark. He is in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's oatmeal day. Oats were the last of the major cereal grains to be domesticated around 3,000 years ago in Europe. Part of the reason why people were slow to embrace oats is because they go rancid quickly due to the presence of natural fats and a fat-dissolving enzyme that requires quick processing after harvest. On this day in agricultural history in 1872, an all-metal windmill was patented by J.S. Risdon. The all-steel windmill was unpopular at first because of expense and the perception that an all-metal windmill would be much more difficult to maintain and repair than a wood windmill. In a few years, with a large marketing effort, all metal windmills were finally accepted, and eventually, wooden windmills were phased out. In 1929, it's Black Tuesday of the great stock market crash. About 16 million shares were traded on Black Tuesday, a record that was not eclipsed until 1968. And all the market lost $14 billion on Black Tuesday and $30 billion during a three-day trading session. That was 10 times the annual budget of the federal government. And in 1947, the first successful cloud seeding with dry ice took place at Concord, New Hampshire. Ironically, natural rainfall immediately following the seeding made it impossible to measure the artificial rainfall total. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming is here. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest. It looks a little soggy.
It does look soggy. In fact, we're going to see some of the heaviest precipitation we've had for several weeks in many areas of the Corn Belt. This is going to be especially true for Iowa, for Minnesota, and then later on, we're going to see Missouri and portions of Illinois, then moving into Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan by late Thursday into Friday morning. A pretty good area of rain shower, thunderstorm activity. Now, it is going to be a pretty cold behind this system, although I think it's going to be more wet than it will be wide. But we will see some areas that could exceed an inch of precipitation or more before it's all said and done.
Is it the beginning of a changing forecast, not only for colder, but maybe more wet weather to come?
Yeah, we've got a fairly active pattern coming up. There's a wave coming right behind this one that's going to be moving in towards the early and mid portions of next week. It will likely bring a pattern somewhat similar to what we've got going on now. And it does look like the first couple of weeks of November will certainly be colder. And we'll have these systems spaced about 5 to 6 days apart.
You think about an inch of rainfall with each of them or not?
Well, you know, I think for this first one, I think we certainly could see that. It's hard to say this far out on the second one, but you put the both together, the odds of the Midwest getting wet with both look real good.
And then if you take a look at subsoil and soil moisture levels, Minnesota, Iowa, probably okay, but certainly parts of Illinois and to the east could use a little drink.
Yeah, West Central Illinois in particular could really use a shot, and that's really one of the areas we think could do quite well. West Central Illinois, Northwest Illinois, and into Northeast Missouri and Southeast Iowa. Those are the areas that will likely see the biggest benefit from the best precipitation.
The planters are rolling in South America. Tell me about the progress and what kind of weather conditions they're dealing with.
Well, right now they're dealing with better weather in Brazil, but the weather getting a little bit active down in Argentina. So things have flipped a little bit. The weather had been more active in Brazil. Now it looks like Argentina will get in the act with some precipitation. As we get into the next week or so, I think the best areas will be the central and eastern areas of Argentina's growing regions. Those areas could do pretty good with precipitation here over the next week.
And in China, they're harvesting a corn crop, beans too.
Looks like fairly good harvest conditions. I wouldn't call them perfect, but it looks like there's no particular areas that will be hard with any real heavy precipitation. So I think harvest operations in China should go, for the most part, unimpeded.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I know you're working hard. Be safe out there on the combine. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.